Hey, it's Harrison Ford here, wanting to say thank you to all the Radio Labyrinth producers over at the Patreon page, which is patreon.com/TimAndrews. So without further delay, Brett Perkins, thank you. Mike Hall, Chad Shepard, Brian Smith, Eric Malmstrom, John Sutherland, Keith Tate, Matt Carter, Mike D., Roby Neely, Sean Hall, and Todd Ellis. Thank you all very much for donating, and we'll see you in the skies.
Wow, you saved those kids' lives, Mr. Downs.
All in a day's work. Remember, if you ever need me, just blow this whistle or call John Stossel's cell phone. Hugh Downs away!
Let me show you a clip from my latest film where my faulty depth perception kept me from yelling cut at the proper time.
I am Cornholio. I need picata for my bunghole.
You'll have to wait your turn, sir.
Are you threatening me?
Morning! Yeah, I hope you don't mind. I got up a little early, so I took the liberty of milking your cow for you. Yeah, it took a little while to get her warmed up. She sure is a stubborn one. Then, pow, all at once.
We don't have a cow. We have a bull.
I'll brush my teeth.
Well, I think I'm going to reroute my trip. I wonder if anybody would think I'd flipped if I went to L.A. via Omaha.
Welcome to Radio Labyrinth, the Gen X pop culture podcast that covers any and all things movies, TV, radio, podcasts, books, comic books, drawings, and even when people fart in public, as long as we like them. I'm your host, Tim Andrews, a regional, semi-famous Atlanta radio personality. These are my co-hosts, Jeff Lieboff and Stephanie Swain, and we are joined this week by a very special guest we've had on before, and his name is Dan Carroll. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Tim. Thank you for having me on. And hello, Jeff and Steph. Steph, I haven't seen you in years.
It's been a minute. I know. Welcome, Dan. Welcome. So good to see you.
And this is season 5, episode 28. We love having Dan here. We love having Dan anytime, but it's not the happiest of reasons we have you on today.
No, this is... I'm here because Dragon Con has announced we're not having a physical show this year, but we are having a virtual show. And we have waited because we've had to make sure that we were making the right decision. But also, Jeff's fireworks are very distracting. But also, we want to make sure all the pieces were in place to make sure that our regular attendees are taken care of for 2021.
That's good. So this is the first time in 34 years that Dragon Con will not happen downtown, and it's a very sad moment. No parade, no cool place to hang out and meet new people or hang out with people you haven't seen in a long time. It's very sad, but let's put a positive spin on it. What are we going to do for 2021?
Well, let's get back to 2020, because what we're doing at Dragon Con this year is we're taking some of the best programming we've had in the past, and our amazing work from DCTV, and we're packaging that with new 2020 content, and we're going to put on a virtual Dragon Con, and this Dragon Con is going to be free for everybody in the universe.
That's awesome. Tell us.
That is cool.
Tell us more about what you're going to be doing.
Well, a lot of the details are still being worked out, but one of the and I understand you may have some suggestions for that content. But the track directors are getting together and they're working with our programming staff to make sure that they create usable, workable, interesting content. It's going to be obviously delivered remotely, but we have had, this is our third or fourth year of doing a streaming Dragon Con. And in the past, streaming Dragon Con was either a separate purchase or it was an add-on to your Dragon Con badge and Dragon Con membership. So this year, we're we're going to be taking that and going a step further in terms of making original content that we know is going to be streaming. Because before we just took these great panels. And we have an amazing library. It goes back, as far as I can tell, somewhere about 2005, 2006, it might have been earlier, that they were broadcasting the panels, the biggest panels with the best guests, to the hotel rooms. So we have all that library to work with.
That's what I was going to ask you, how far back they started recording the panels.
Well, I to be honest, I can't remember. I remember I was talking to the gentleman, Brian Richardson, who created DCTV at the beginning. And originally, it was just something in the ballrooms to keep people occupied during the ballrooms. And then they got the challenge to bring it out a little bit further. And by the time my first Dragon Con, now I haven't been going to all the Dragon Cons. I started in, let me 2006 was my first Dragon Con. And by 2008, my first time staying there, I was watching DCTV instead of going to some of the big panels.
Right.
So I know it was already established by then.
Now, DCTV, there's a lot. If you guys out there aren't familiar with DCTV, there is a ton. I'm talking about, I don't even want to say a shit ton, but there's a ton of created content that's really cool and fun to watch. And I think, you know, some of the times they produce their own shows. There's wrestling events, there's music events, there's interviews, there's everything you could possibly imagine. And I just wanted to give them a big shout out because they do put a lot of hard work into it every single year.
Yeah.
I wanted to suggest that you show the Adult Swim panels, maybe the one that Tim was on, for Squidbillies, if they tape that one.
I will definitely put that submission in. And I don't get to control things, but, you know, sometimes they listen to me.
I never got to see the Alton Brown panel either. I'd love to see that one.
Ah, okay. Those are suggestions I will log in with the boss. My role at Dragon Con is a little bit different than a lot of the volunteers. A lot of the volunteers are working really hard to put on those 3,500 hours of programming we're used to. And obviously we're not going to have that much. The show, as you know, if you've been there, it goes 24 hours a day for 5 days, starting on Thursday afternoon, all the way to Monday afternoon. But we're going to have to reduce that time, and we're just going to have a shorter period. But it's, what's great is we're going to have multiple channels. And again, technically, we have done this for 3 years, so we know what we're doing. So that's a fantastic advantage. If we had not had that experience, we couldn't guarantee what we're looking for. So that's going to be good. In terms of guests, that is still being worked out, how we're going to work with our guests who had already been approved, and how we're going to work with potential guests. Right now, the track directors, and a track at Dragon Con, for those people who've never been, is a programming area that's focused on Star Trek or Star Wars or anything. It could be young adult literature. So much is going on in those tracks, but any suggestions I get that I can pass on, I sure will.
Steph, you were going to ask a question a second ago.
I was just going to ask about the shopping at the booths. That's, you know, always obviously very popular, and it's generally very, very full in there. And I wondered if they were going to offer, like, I don't know, Zoom booths. Each one of their things where you could buy stuff.
Okay, so as I'm speaking to you now, the details are being worked out. I mean, we just made the announcement this morning, and this is the evening that we're talking. But the good news is that we have not forgotten our vendors, because just like the hotels and just like the restaurants and bars, we consider the vendors to be critical partners in the success of Dragon Con over the years. So they are working out something with the vendors, and they're working out a way to present the vendors in such a way that the people can buy the stuff they like, but also the vendors are able to get the support they need during this really tough time. And the one thing I will throw out is a lot of people like Dragon Con merch. There's a line in front of the Dragon Con store every time I walk past it. And what we're going to be doing is adding some exclusives for 2020 in the Dragon Con online store. But those details, again, as I said, the first thing was to get the word out and let everybody know that a virtual Dragon Con is not a cancellation of Dragon Con. But those people who already have badges and they already have commitments with rooms, we have made sure that those have been taken care of before we could go forward. And we want to make sure that our folks are also safe, which is our primary decision for driver behind making this decision.
I know the hotels started offering rollovers to next year, maybe a week or two ago.
Yeah, and now we have all the hotels, all the host hotels are offering those rollovers for next year or cancellations. Every hotel's got a little different procedure, so we recommend that you check with your hotel or check with the dragoncon.org/updates page, which is not only full of a lot of information, they've also got a couple of jokes in there.
Hey, Dan, one of the most popular things the entire weekend is the parade. Will you be putting together any kind of compilations of older parades and different marshals and things like that? It's always a great time.
I would expect to see the videos from the parade online. I don't have any confirmation of that, but I would be surprised if, because it's always great. It's great footage. It shows this wonderful event, and there's a lot of older parades that maybe I got to go to for 20 minutes. I'd love to see the whole thing, so right. That would be great.
And one of my favorite things to do when I'm there is people watch. Both males and females. Cosplay is so essential to Dragon Con. And will you be doing anything virtual with cosplay, like contests and things like that?
The specifics, I don't know. But I do know we have a costuming track, and they're going to have a segment of programming.
Cool.
So the costuming track will have something featured. I know myself, I have a group, a cadre of the more advanced customers who come with me and support me when I do media shots, when I'm with the local news or something like that. I have gotten some interest from them about being involved in some way. And the funny thing is I may be the person who ends up working the most in the Dragon Con year off, because we do want to celebrate this online situation we got going on.
Were you part of the decision making, or did they come tell you this
Jeff,
morning?
I think you should know me well enough to know I make no decisions at Dragon Con whatsoever.
I just wondered if they included you at all in the decision making.
Now, every so often, the only time that I can think of having any input, and it was still not my decision whatsoever, was when I encouraged the invitation for Ali and AJ to come to Dragon Con.
Right.
So, and that was just, for years I had a running gag, and this has nothing to do with Dragon Con. This is all about Dan. I had a running gag that I hated Meg Ryan. And I replaced that with a running gag that Ali and AJ were the greatest band on earth. Now, I actually do legitimately like their music. Don't get me wrong. But I understand they're not the greatest band on earth. But they put on a good show, and I do like their music. So that was my only contribution that I know of.
Well, if you need Radio Labyrinth to do a Dragon Con-centric podcast over Zoom or whatever during streaming.
And that is absolutely something we're going to be talking about. And guys, to be honest, I have come here with an invitation to invite you onto the Dragon Con Media Relations podcast.
Oh, cool.
I've been on your show so many times, you guys can be on mine. We haven't put it out much this year. We put out a couple at the beginning of the year. And this is a communication specifically to reporters. And one of the things that I'd like to talk to you guys about is how you experienced Dragon Con as reporters, and what's the difference between your love of fandom and your responsibility. And I see your responsibility as twofold. One is inform people, and second, entertain them. How do you find that balance? So you'll be getting invitations via
email. I'll do that. Neat. Cool, man.
So keep us in mind if you're looking for some podcasts to do a live show.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And now my biggest concern is I'm not at that point now where I can make that decision. But absolutely. I mean, there's nothing, especially the fact that you guys are not just known around town. You are known for your geekiness, all three of you.
Right.
Well, I don't know, Steph. I don't think of you as a geek. I might think of you actually as the voice of reason.
Oh, thanks. I am a dork.
Okay, yes.
We'll give her the dork title. She is
got a nerd, a dork, and a geek. So that works out fine.
And a curmudgeon.
Oh, a curmudgeon. Yeah,
that's right. I am pretty grumpy sometimes. So other than Dragon Con, have you been doing all right during this whole thing, work-wise, and keeping busy and not going nuts?
Well, like many people in America, my job ended during the pandemic. I was lucky; I got a good 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks in there, and I've been revitalizing my health. Probably because I had to, but, you know, laying off the smoking, eating less, and, it's been a good time health wise.
You look great.
Yeah, I saw you completed a 5K the other day, right?
I did. I live in Midtown, very close to Dragon Con, and I was able to walk over to up to 14th Street and then across and back down and pulled that 3.11 miles in.
Nice.
Right.
So, and for those who don't know, the last time these guys saw me, I was on a cane or a walker. I can't remember, but.
Well, you've rehabilitated yourself very well.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, my legs wobble when I do dishes, but I can go forward.
The solution to that is to not do dishes.
Yeah, that is. That is what I've been trying to do.
Paper and plastic. Yes. Well, Dan, we appreciate you coming on and telling us. And remember, everybody, it's not bad news. It's different news. So we can still all participate and still be a part of Dragon Con this year and give them our support and look forward to 2021 for sure.
And everything's free for everybody, right?
Tim, I just want to throw one note in.
Sure, you can throw
earlier we talked about the vendors, and I talked about how important it is we consider the vendors to be partners. Well, we also consider our hotels partners and our restaurants and bars in downtown. We would not be Dragon Con if we did not have the cooperation and support and love of those hotels. So we're asking everybody in the Dragon Con family and in the listening area, when it's safe to do so, head on down, get a meal at one of your favorite Dragon Con food court places, or spend a night in one of those hotels, because, you know, we're all going to need a break somehow.
Yeah, and eventually, we don't know when, we can only hope, but eventually we'll be able to do that kind of stuff again. So if there's an event downtown, something at the Tabernacle or something at the Georgia, what is it called now? Mercedes-Benz Stadium. At the Georgia Dome. And whatever the arena that used to be called the Omni and Phillips Arena is called now. I forget. At the State Farm. Yeah. If there's something going on downtown that you want to be a part of, stay in one of the Dragon Con hotels, eat at one of those restaurants, and, you know, get a cup of coffee at one of the local places.
Absolutely.
Or a beer. Whatever. Whatever you need to get you through the day. You start off with coffee, maybe a beer later.
Hey, even if there's no events going on, you just want to go in the pool or spend the night in a hotel.
Right.
Sure. A few years ago, I found myself, and as I say this, I don't want anyone to be sad because I was the most affluent homeless person I've ever heard of. But I found myself, I was about to move into my apartment and they moved me out a month. And I had a friend who let me stay with them, but I couldn't stay with them Thanksgiving week because their house was going to be filled. I stayed at the Hyatt for a week and I had a blast. It was wonderful. So,
and in nice hotels. It's a wonderful treat to stay in a place like that.
Oh, it's just fantastic.
Usually the height of my hotel splurging is Hampton Inn, which is a fine hotel on the side of the road that isn't, you know, like a Days Inn where it smells like cigarettes from 400 years ago.
So everybody can roll over their tickets from this year to next year.
Yes.
And Eternal memberships are still on sale.
Yes. And when it comes to the rollover, if somebody feels they need to cancel for next year, up to August 1st, we're taking cancellations and we're processing them through, and you will get reimbursed before the date of DrenCon weekend.
That's cool.
And same with the hotels. You can roll over your hotels or you can cancel without penalty.
Go ahead, Steph. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I'm just assuming that there are going to be some extremely cool Dragon Con masks for sale.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, there will be.
I figure that's going to be a given.
I mean, you know, the world of geeks has plenty of geek masks, but for anybody who had a Dragon Con badge already purchased, there will also be a special gift for them for 2020. Not for 2021, but for 2020. If you stick through and don't cancel your reservation, there is a gift involved. And man, masks are very popular this year. And, you know, a lot of people collect those Dragon Con badges. So a Dragon Con badge for a badge that didn't exist may be a collector's item.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. I have a huge collection of Dragon Con badges. I didn't even think about not being able to get one this year.
And reporters who were approved for last year are count as having a pass for this
year.
Cool.
Well, hopefully that mask will be a collector's item if you do get one, and it'll be the one and only year ever that you'll ever have to give one of those.
We all sincerely hope that this is the only year we need masks.
I want the one from the classic V where half of it's human and half of it's the old in that NBC show. Not the updated one, the original.
I actually got one, ordered one not too long ago that was the Wu-Tang Clan, except it was the Wu-Tang Clan.
Dan, where can people keep themselves updated on what's going to be happening and follow along this year?
Well, we have an update page. It's www.drangcon.org/updates.
Okay.
And it's simple.
Social media?
Social media at DragonCon.
Okay.
On Twitter, when you search in Facebook, it's the Dragon Con page that has 174,000 followers. That's a good indication you're on the right page. And if you're media, at Dragon Con Media. You know, this is my own Twitter handle, so let me double check. At Dragon Con Media. I was right. I was like, what was it? Was it Rel Mead? So no, it is at Dragon Con Media. Also on Facebook, Dragon Con Media. And for any request you have, DanCarroll@DragonCon.org.
DanCarroll@DragonCon.org.
Yes. And I understand you have other topics. Is it okay if I stick around and talk about other topics with you? Because 1996 is really exciting.
Yes, we'd love to have you do that. Let me read a couple of announcements real quick, and we'll get going. So Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Euro, who are open for dine-in service. And they are, you know, they're safe. They're cleaning the tables off. They're spraying stuff down. And you can go in there, sit down, order yourself a delicious meal there. They have Italian food, and they have Euros and all sorts of sandwiches and salads and stuff. Listen, they're providing takeout and curbside service still for those of you who prefer it. I'm one of those people. I'm still nervous about going into a restaurant and sitting down, as evidenced by my time there. But I had a great time. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed being social, but you know, now I'm back to stay in the house. if you don't have to pay ahead of time either if you want curbside or takeout. Just go to their website, atlantapizzagyro.com. That's G-Y-R-O, if you don't know how to spell it, to order online for pickup or delivery. And, you know, Atlanta Pizza in Euro wants to thank everyone who has been supportive through these tough times, this weird, wacky 2020. And let's also not forget our friend Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens. Jeff, I ask you this every week, but I want you to tell people what that is, repro printing.
They print like large format stuff, like for construction projects and housing. You know, if you're a carpenter or something and need some blueprints, they print stuff that's like way too big to print at like a FedEx Kinko's.
Okay.
You know, like the Jay-Z song, you know, big printing.
Yeah. With the LDI.
The P-R-I-N-T-R.
Yeah, blueprints and whatnot.
Well, they have all of your construction printing needs, commercial or residential. They're located in Athens, Georgia, been around for 15 years, since 2005. Fast turnaround and affordable prices. If you're interested, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. A couple other real quick things. Just some friends of ours are always being creative and we want to support them. We've talked to Josh Warren a bunch of times from Action Show Studios. He sent me a link the other day of this thing that they're doing now called Cooking with JTB. In the description says, world-renowned butcher John Timlin shows you how to make a delicious quesadilla burger with ingredients you can purchase at your local grocery store or maybe you have in your house. And I watched the video. It's funny, and it's like a guy cooking in his own apartment. He makes a quesadilla burger, and the thing looks really, really good. And that's episode two. The first episode is him making a garlic bread mozzarella, garlic bread mozzarella cheese leftover spaghetti sandwich.
That sounds good.
Hell yeah, it does. It looks good. So I like to call it fat guy comfort food. It's perfect for me. And also our good buddy, Vinny Bucci. You guys remember Vinny Bucci if you listen to the regular guy's show.
Bucci.
And if you're, you know, into, he has his own podcast and he's really into wrestling and everything. But a couple of years ago, he ate a car and we had him on the show. And now it's being released as a documentary series on YouTube. So it's just called Booch in the Car. It's coming to YouTube next Friday, July 12th, with a new name, extra scenes, and multiple episodes. So you just check it out. Just go to YouTube and type in Booch and the Car. The Car!
I'm excited to see that because when it aired on Adult Swim, I missed like the first 20 minutes.
Right.
And I kept saying, I need to watch it again. But they only showed it one other time and it was like at 1 a.m. or something, and I missed it.
Well, I haven't seen any of it, so I can't wait to watch again.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Did you guys have a good 4th of July?
Yeah, I just peeled two dogs out of my butt, finally.
Oh, yeah. So Independence Day was crazy. I mean, the fireworks started. Look, fireworks have been going off every single night since Memorial Day. Now, Dan, I don't know, since you live down closer to the city, right?
Insane. It was absolutely insane.
Yeah, okay. Because it was every day since Memorial Day, people are shooting them off. But the 4th of July, I've never heard it like that. All day long, all night long. It didn't stop till about 1 o'clock.
Well, what was interesting, and I'm in, was technically Sono. So I get the fireworks from Little Five Points all the way up to about Piedmont Park. I can watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday was worse than Saturday.
Yeah. Wow.
But Saturday I had to run out in the evening and there was somebody on one of those streets over by 6th and 7th by the park who had set up their fireworks display in the middle of the road and were shooting it off while I was trying to navigate down the road.
That must have been fun.
No.
Get around them. People actually had the real deal fireworks this year. You know, we have people that shoot off the, you know, the minis and all that, but real fireworks that went way up in the air and.
Well, they legalized them a couple of years ago, so you can go to a fireworks store and buy them.
I want them to be illegal again. I'm tired of. I'm old now.
I'm with you though, Tim. Like my neighbors. I don't even know they do this crap. They've been doing it for the last couple of years. They got to spend a few grand on this display. And they shut down our street.
Well, I spent a stimulus check on fireworks this year.
No doubt they did. I mean, and our whole house just shakes, just boom. And it's, it's infuriating, honestly, to me. And I'm like, I'm different about fireworks. I feel like over the age of 10, haven't you seen them all, really?
Nope.
I mean, honest to God.
I won't see them on my deathbed.
The dogs handle them.
Bad. They handled it bad, Jeff. Yeah. Very bad. I had to give them trazodone, and it still wasn't enough.
What's trazodone?
It's a sedative.
Oh, you got more?
No, actually, I doped them up real, real good. But they didn't pass out till like, I don't know, it was like 11:45. They finally started chilling out. But it was like, oh my God, it was making me want to beat my dogs. And it was terrible.
Hey, this took, it was terrible. This took a very dark turn. Very dark turn. Well, hopefully next year everybody can get out and go see fireworks in a giant group again. We're just all talking. Everything is, well, next year, next year, next year. Let's hope that happens.
Tim, can I just say that I really dislike going to see fireworks in a big group to begin with.
Oh, yeah?
And one of the selling points of my apartment was that I was overlooking the fireworks display at Little Five, Pond City Market.
Not
Little
Five, nice.
Pond City Market. And last year it was great. And this year it was neighbors putting on fireworks displays.
I'm with you on that, because I remember that we used to go down to Lenox Mall. And if you drove down there, you weren't getting home until 12:30, 1 o'clock at night, because there was no place to park. And then, you know, where you did park, you were stuck. So sometimes we'd take MARTA down, but still, that was just people packed in there. And they quit doing that a couple years ago, didn't they? As far as I know.
I guess I've always been like just a cynical, horrible child, because even when I was a kid, I would get so sick of, ooh, ah. It's 45 minutes of that.
My mom told me, shut up. I go, oh, wow. She goes, shut up. You've seen fireworks.
Did you watch the Mount Rushmore fireworks?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I did not. I know. No, there was no reason to watch any of that, as far as I could tell.
So the Sioux foothills did not set ablaze?
No, I didn't watch any of that. Nope. Don't care. Blah, 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 blah. Way to derail me, Jeff, you fuck. Hey, we're going to kind of skip news tonight and get right into 1996, because there's a lot to talk about. Are you all right with that, Steph?
Oh, sure.
I'll just read a couple of headlines real quick. Ozark is over after the next season, so season 4 will be the finale, split into two parts on Netflix, so they're going to milk the shit out of it, like The Sopranos, the last season. Half-Baked 2 is in the works. Doubtful that Dave Chappelle will be back. So yay. The one piece of news that I think that really made me happy was Beavis and Butthead are coming back, if you guys want to talk about that for a second.
Yeah, but they're going to be Gen Zers.
Well, so. So what, are they just going to get on Twitter and complain and not talk to each other and just sit there? Who's canceled, Beavis?
Yeah, it looks like the synopsis.
Yeah.
They're going to cancel themselves.
Yeah.
Are they really going to do it that way? I didn't read the story. So they're going to make them Gen Zers?
Yeah.
They should be like 50-year-olds.
They should be. They should be Gen Xers in their 40s. Just like,
I agree. 100%.
I would have liked to see them be 1996 punks with the theme. But in 2021, let's get them past the coronavirus. Sort of like, those shows where they show the 1950s household, but it's the 80s and they're still acting like it's the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I love that type of humor.
That's a great idea.
Kind of like they did with the Brady Bunch movies. Everything.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Mm-hmm. That's what I. And one of my favorite movies that nobody's ever heard of is The Man of the Century, where the main character is a guy named Johnny 20s who's walking around 1997 New York, but he's acting as if it's 1927. He talks, he dresses, he works for a newspaper and uses a typewriter. and it's really, really surreal.
I have to check that out. I wrote that down. What's it called? Man of the Century?
Man of the Century.
All right. Steph, I feel bad I read all those headlines so fast. I'm not demeaning what you do every week. I appreciate it.
Oh, my God. Shut up. Get on with it.
All right. We did have some major passings of celebrities in the past week. And, wow, some big names. Well, three of them in their 90s, one of them in their 80s, and all of them are people we know one way or the other. Certainly the most famous of all, I guess, would be Carl Reiner, who passed away at 98. Everything he was involved with and his friendship with Mel Brooks, just years and years and years of entertaining and funny and amazing content that he gave us. And Jeff wrote down some of his greatest hits. Oh, God, The Jerk, The Man with Two Brains, All of Me, Summer School, of course, The Dick Van Dyke Show. What was his character's name on that show, Jeff?
He was Alan Brady.
Alan Brady, yeah. So he was the host of the show. Is that what it was? They all wrote for him?
Yeah, they worked on the Alan Brady show. They only showed Alan Brady every, you know, like twice a year or something like that.
Right.
But he was producing and directing it in the background. What I love is, if you've ever seen the first iteration of the Dick Van Dyke Show about the Jewish family.
No.
Yeah. So Carl Reiner's the dad and the family's like completely Jewish, like, you know, out of a Jewish family comedy.
Right.
They showed it and they said, this is really funny, but there's no way we're broadcasting nationwide anything about a Jewish family. Recast it.
You know, you look at that, those rules, those weird arbitrary rules that they put on things back then when they created mm-hmm. it. How did they know that people in Peoria wouldn't enjoy a show like that? Would they just go, oh, they're Jews, we're not going to watch this? I don't think so. I think that they were erring on the side of bad ideas.
I think it was because your show of shows bombed so badly in the middle of the country. It was like the top rated show in New York and California, and in the middle of the country, it was crickets. They couldn't get viewers.
I don't understand. Why are they acting so Jewy? Who's Imogene Coca? I don't know. Sid Caesar, is he Roman? I don't know.
I loved it when they would show your show of shows reruns. We got those on WPIX in New York, right, Jeff?
Oh, Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Was that in the 80s?
Yeah, it was in the 80s. They showed the reruns.
In the 70s, they showed them on PBS.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking. But it might have been PBS. But I watched them because I knew all those people from movies and TV shows from the 70s and 80s. And, you know, it's a mad, 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 mad world. That was always on once or twice a year. So you knew all those people, especially Buddy Hackett, who wasn't in your show of shows, but was one of my favorites from back then. Buddy Hackett.
Right. And the writer staff of your show of shows is just absolutely amazing. Carl Reiner, Mel Brooks, Woody Allen, and Neil Simon.
Yeah, man. That's amazing stuff. Weird, wacky stuff. So rest in peace, Carl Reiner, 98 years old. Of course, his legacy, Rob Reiner, also a man who has created tons and tons and tons of content for boomers, Gen X, and even, I guess, whatever they're called now. But, you know, Rob Reiner has been in our eyes, or I can't think of the word, but he's been on top of mind in this entertainment since, I don't know, since we were born. All in the Family, Odd Couple, as an actor, and then
right.
Tap and so on. So rest in peace, Carl Reiner, and thank you for everything. You know? Also, at 99 years old, Hugh Downs, and this was a shock to me because I thought he had passed away like 10 years ago. And he was the co-anchor of 2020 for a long, long time with Barbara Walters. You guys remember Hugh Downs, right? Hugh Downs, tonight on 2020.
Yeah, I wish I could do Sherry O'Terry. Hugh Downs. I'm doing Barbara Walters saying Hugh Downs.
Hugh Downs!
Also passing away, I can't say it, Ennio Morricone. Morricone? I don't know.
Morricone, yeah, the composer that did all the spaghetti westerns.
Yeah, he did an awful lot of movies, but of course, most famous.
Mm-hmm.
So, rest in peace. And then today, bad news, 83 years old, Charlie Daniels, most famous for The Devil Went Down to Georgia, and of course, Uneasy Rider, and millions and millions, no, not that many, but tons and tons of hit songs from the 70s, a couple from the 80s, kind of lost it a little bit in the 90s, but a couple years ago, we put out a Dylan tribute album. Now, laugh, but it's really, really good. So if you're into Charlie Daniels singing Dylan songs, they're available on Spotify.
And that I'm writing down.
Hopefully he's got that golden fiddle now.
Early one morning, the sun was shining. I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd change it all if her hair was still red.
So it's good. I love Charlie.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
I've never heard that as soon as the show is over.
Yeah.
Uneasy Rider was a fun, hilarious comedy song, basically, kind of doing a take on the South and just being a long-haired dirtbag, you know, driving out to L.A. And taking the wrong turn, as they say in those situations.
Didn't he do, he never did think that it ever would happen again.
In America, did you? Well, yeah, he became one of those, guys, you know. He had a song in the 90s I played when I was a country DJ, something about Bill Clinton where he mentions the president and his wife. No, wait, the president and her husband. I mean, he got a little weird like that, but a lot of people.
Oh, that one that I just sang, though, that was from the 80s, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was in high school or something. I don't know. I remember, but I remember I liked that song.
Here's my favorite.
If you ever go back into Willie Swamp, well, you better not go at night. So those kids drowning in the quicksand, trying to get that old man's money.
While the dogs are barking, let's take a trip to July of 1996. Now, just as a preamble to July of 1996, I had recently moved to Atlanta. It was in June. I was working at Fuddruckers. I trained at La Vista Road Fuddruckers, which is, I live less than a mile from there now. It's gone, but that's where I trained. And then I ended up being in Town Center at Town Center Mall Fuddruckers. One of the cool
things. You were in the Marietta one.
No, I was in Kennesaw at the Town Center Mall and then the one, you know, that was on La Vista Road in Tucker, Georgia. But the cool thing about that month, because it's on this list, and then I'll shut up and let Steph get going, is I got to watch my one and only Olympic torch run. And the Olympics, of course, were in Atlanta in 96. And my friend that I was living with, Mark, he and I went to this bar called the County Cork Pub, and it was in the Prado off of Roswell.
Love Road. That place.
You remember that place? I love.
Oh yeah.
Bar. Oh, it's such a great bar.
Yeah.
It was before, you know, they had all that development there, but it was a cool little Irish pub that you could go and they had good food. You had
to go downstairs in the middle. And
yeah. Oh, I'm glad someone else remembers that besides me. And we drank and drank and drank, and then I remember I got fooled. One of the there was a sign behind the bartender that said, any Braves ticket stubs between now and the end of the Olympics will get free beer for a year. And I'm like, oh, I ought to get one of those. Oh, yeah, that's right. They're not playing because of the Olympics. Anyway, it was in the Prado at Sandy Springs. We got drunk. We all got stickers. We all went outside and watched the torch go by. And then we went back in and drank more and then went home. And other than that, take it away, Steph.
No, I thought you were going to do this. I like it when you do it.
You like
it. And especially whenever you do the music, like when you do it as Casey, I like that too.
All right. We'll get it. So let's just say on July 4th of 1996, Hotmail debuted. You remember Hotmail? Does anyone still have a Hotmail account?
I still have a Hotmail.
You still have one, yeah.
And they let you sign in, but you can't, like, if you don't have one, you can't go there and create one anymore. They don't allow that. That was Microsoft owned that, right?
Right. Yep. It's Outlook.com now.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Hotmail. That was where the first place you could go, create a dummy email account, and then sign up on a bunch of different message boards without getting harassed on your own email.
That's what trolls did.
There really weren't trolls, I don't think, yet, were there? I was on AOL in 1996, and I didn't even have a computer. My roommate had a computer, and she'd let me borrow it. So I would just get in the AOL chat rooms and play guess the lyrics, music trivia. There was just one where you just guessed the lyrics over and over again. People played games. Ooh. It was fun. Yeah, that was, you know, it took too long to download a picture. I was usually finished before the picture was. July 12th rolling along, Hurricane Bertha. Now, I don't remember Hurricane Bertha. Where did that hit?
North Carolina.
Was it rolled over Tortola, where I was living in the British Virgin Islands.
Ooh. Made like quite extensive millions and millions and millions of dollars of damage. It was pretty big hurricane. No Andrew.
No.
But still.
It wasn't too bad in the British Virgin Islands, but I remember WENY weatherman Carl Proper called my apartment to interview me about the hurricane. But I was at work, so we ended up interviewing my drunk roommate.
House drunk.
July 17th, we had the Paris and Rome bound TWA Flight 800 explode off the coast of Long Island. I don't remember that very well either. Is that the one they blamed on Gaddafi? Oh, no. That was Lockerbie.
I remember that because the week before, exactly 7 days before, that was the flight my niece took to Paris.
Ooh.
So while it's on the news, I'm talking to my sister-in-law about, you know, I'm really glad it wasn't last week. That was the one. It was almost certainly natural, you know, just a bad accident. It was an accident. Somebody claimed they saw a streak of light heading towards it.
Pierre Salinger.
That's it. Well, he claimed he had the information. Yeah, Pierre Salinger. Wow, that's an interesting
path. Guy from the Kennedy administration.
Yeah.
The Olympics kicked off on July 19th. I did not go to anything. I didn't go to any Olympic event whatsoever. I didn't have the money, and plus I worked weird hours. But I do remember my roommates and some of the people that I met when I came down here. Everybody that I lived with or hung out with when I moved here was from Pennsylvania or New York. So, you know, I went to college with these folks, and they did go to some Olympic events, but I didn't go to any. I did notice the fact that where we lived was an apartment complex off of Roswell Road and right there by 285. I don't know what it's called now. It used to be called Lakeview Apartments. It's right there, 285 and Roswell Road, inside the perimeter. But the pool during the day was certainly a lot. There was a lot of things to look at during that summer. And then once the Olympics were gone, that all went away too, and it became crime-ridden and dangerous. But that's why I moved out of there. But the Olympics were fun. I mean, you know, do you remember collecting pins, or did any of you guys do that? Did you get pins?
I didn't live here. I lived in Detroit. I had not even a twinkling of Atlanta in my eye at that point.
How about you, Dan? Were you here yet?
I was broke with three kids. Our Olympic experience was going down to Olympic Centennial Park the day before the bombing, taking the kids, walking around. And, you know, there was a street fair atmosphere that we enjoyed.
Right.
But I also remember I'm sure this comes up later, the Macarena. So there was the joy of the Olympics mixed with the Macarena and despair. So
despair always follows the Macarena.
At least you didn't smell like burger meat every day of your life.
I did earlier. I used to, well, you guys are from Pennsylvania. I'm sure you've heard of Geno's.
Oh, yeah.
From Prussia?
Yeah.
I worked one year in high school at a Geno's, and I worked at a ripoff of Applebee's called BF Packies.
Oh, man, never heard of that.
Yeah, no, there was one of them. And it turned out it was actually, I can say this now because nobody's going to hear is going to care. It was set up to lose money as a money laundering front for a construction company that was owned by the mob.
Oh, good.
Oh.
So.
We have interesting pasts. I know.
I do.
And then July 21st, The Daily Show premiered, and not The Daily Show that we know of today. We had the original Daily Show with Craig Kilborn, who left ESPN to go over to Comedy Central and create this show. It was a half hour. It was fun. It was, I thought, funnier than any incarnation afterwards, which is why I didn't watch it after he left. But he killed his career.
Yes. I liked the Jon Stewart Daily Show, but
I did until it became political.
In the minority.
Well, I liked when the show was making fun of news, despite the fact that what I do for a hobby is public relations. Right. I have many, many friends in the news. I loved watching their send up of the news. And, you know, Beth and Brian Kilmeade, you know, became people that I looked forward to seeing. And I remember I didn't see it when it first came on. And I was, because of the Olympics, I ended up having to take a job in Omaha because I was a contract consultant and there were no contracts in Atlanta. And my roommate in Omaha said, "You got to watch the show. You'll like it. You're smart." Well, you know, me being smart does nothing to do with my taste. because I watched Xena and Hercules. And anyway, so they, I loved it. And I loved the take. And it took me a long time to get used to Jon Stewart, especially with the political consideration.
Yeah.
I like Jon, but Craig, the thing about him was that he was so handsome, right? And he played that up to the hilt, you know, and you don't usually see handsome guys like that are that funny.
Right.
And I think that's what really made him special. And the way that he would, Janine Garofalo, she was one of my favorite guests. Anytime she ever came on there, she was always flirting with him. And the time she ran up and jumped in the seat with him and they turned over in the floor and broke his chair. But in a moment for us was like the highlight of the show. I always enjoyed it. So I liked Jon Stewart, obviously, because I loved Jon Stewart's old MTV show.
Right.
It was hard for me to watch Jon go from that to this show.
I like that, too. I liked his stand-up, too.
Yeah, stand-up was great. So I feel like it was a different show, but to Dan's point, the cast of characters, the correspondents,
right,
what really made the show, like Brian Unger and Steve Carell and people like that. I mean, that just totally drove the show.
Right. That show got them notoriety. They had been on a host of different things as either writers or part-time players. This really pushed them out into the world. And you know, that's how Steve Carell got The Office and so on and so forth. You know, and what, you have Samantha Bee, she has her own show, and John Oliver, they all come from that show.
Yep. Oh, yeah, of course, John Oliver, what am I saying? And who was the, oh my God, she was so funny too, the woman, the one woman reporter at the beginning, back when Craig was
Laura
on.
Laura Keitlinger?
Not Laura Keitlinger.
I love Laura Keitlinger.
I like.
Oh, Nancy Walls.
Nancy Walls was on there.
Steve's wife. And there was somebody else too, Anyway.
Well, Daily Show is still on, so congratulations on your 24 years of
being. And Kilborn kind of went nowhere.
Right, he killed his career. What do you say? Yeah. He was in The Wedding Crashers. I remember that.
He should be a much bigger star than he is.
I agree.
He alienated everyone. The show old was created school. By was an a Roswell school. Native, Liz Winstead.
Okay,
Liz Winstead, she was another one.
I cannot repeat the story because I'm here in a spokesman role about what he said in Inquirer about his lesbian producer. And that was when they started looking to replace him.
All right, so he made disparaging comments and killed his career.
Yes. So
well, I won't lament that.
Beth Littleford. That's who I was trying to think of. She was hysterical. Hysterical.
So, for years, I just called her, it's Beth. It's Beth. When she showed up playing somebody's ex-husband's new wife, she did play a lot of those roles.
Right.
She was great. What's she do now?
She plays the ex-husband's new wife on Disney Channel, or at least that's what she was doing 10 years ago.
And she was the mom on a... You know, I'm in my 40s and I still watch teenager shows because I'm weird and a pervert, but Awkward. She was the mom on Awkward, too.
All right.
Oh, but Awkward was a huge exception because my daughter got me into Awkward at the same time she got me into the lesbian show, Faking It. And if you've never seen Faking It, that's a whole legitimately hilarious show. But
I have not seen Faking It.
Yeah, it's Faking
It. Boy, I have.
So. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Let's close out the month in news with July 27th, of course, the Centennial Park bombing that killed two people and injured 111 people and was blamed by NBC and other media outlets. They blamed it on poor Richard Jewell, who was the guy who, what, he discovered the bomb or had called it in or something. I don't remember the details. I haven't seen that movie. Has anyone seen that?
I saw it.
That bomb? Was it good?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I should watch it. I know you can watch it now for free. So
yeah.
Did you just say that it bombed?
Yes, and it was not intentional, but it was.
It didn't do very well at the box office now, but it was a very good movie and really well done and kind of redeemed. I mean, Richard Jewell was already redeemed before he died and everything.
Right.
But it's kind of celebrated him as being the hero really, of the whole bombing, because if he had not done what he did, a lot more people probably would have been killed.
Probably so. Probably so. I remember that being my first summer here, and the bombing aside, just how exciting it was to live in a city that had the Olympics like that, and how before it became Turner Field, it was used for the Olympics, you know, and they built it specifically to become Turner Field, revitalizing that entire area for a long time before, you know, it fell back into disrepair. But, you know, it was a good time to be in this city. And you know, starting with, I guess, 1988, with the Democratic National Convention being here, and all the way to the 2000s, it was just a revitalization of this place. So I'm happy to have been here for that. We want to talk about some movies from July of 1996. The one at the top is probably my favorite out of all of these on the list, Kingpin.
Steph's background.
I love, love, love Kingpin. And tying it to Dragon Con, one time Jeff and I were down there. This was in the early 2000s, maybe even the late 90s. And we were walking around, and I went down and we sat in a bar to have something to eat. Or maybe Jeff went over to a panel. But I was sitting pretty close to Vanessa Angel, and she just started talking to me, and she played Claudia in the movie, and she was really cool. And we had a good conversation. I talked too much about Kingpin.
That wasn't awkward at all.
Well, she was really cool. Very friendly. Very
nice. Didn't you and I, one year we were there, didn't we see a Big Earn? I could have swore you and I saw a Big Earn down in the lobby.
Yeah, we did. We saw it
there
one time.
Is that a costume or just a random urn?
We saw urn. You know what would have been a great...
Did they have the ball and everything?
Yeah. Yeah, right. They had the ball.
Mash up Ernie from Bert and Ernie Sesame Street with Big Urn.
Oh, that would be cool.
But that movie is my favorite comedy from the late 90s. Just absolutely, like, nonstop laughing the entire time. Super funny. And Randy Quaid, Woody Harrelson, Bill Murray... Lynn Shay, who played that disgusting landlady. You're going to be there. Chris Elliott's in it. They do a spoof on $1 million. What was that? Oh, and A Decent Proposal was the name of that movie.
Oh yeah. And, God, it was so gross. There were so many gross, gross parts. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, even Roger Clemens is in the movie. He's in the bar scene. Because these guys are from New Hampshire, so they're very big Boston fans.
That was my dream, man. Have that bowling alley. I'd love to have two lanes in my house.
Father, help! Get another movie that came out in 1996 in July, Courage Under Fire. Now I don't remember that film.
It was a good movie with Meg Ryan. I think Denzel Washington. And, you know, she was an Iraqi Gulf War vet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty good.
I remember.
And it was like, you know, something like she hadn't played before. She played all these little soft little meh, meh. And then,
that's right. It was her first big dramatic role.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenon. Is that the movie with the aliens and the probes?
That's the one where... not Stallone. The other guy. The guy
Travolta.
What?
It was John Travolta.
John Travolta. Thank you. I knew he was.
It's right.
The other Italian guy from North Jersey played a guy who is simple-minded. I think we can say that now. And he gets hit by alien stuff and becomes a super genius.
Okay.
I don't want to give away the ending because I can't remember it.
John Travolta, Kira Sedgwick, Forrest Whitaker. Robert Duvall. Robert Duvall. And I think Data's in it. Brent Spiner.
Oh.
I don't think it did. You know, they thought it was going to do so well because he had made his comeback. He did Pulp Fiction. Then he did Get Shorty. And then they thought this was going to be another big one, and it wasn't.
Right. He had a string of those, mid to late 90s terrible bombs.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I was thinking that Phenomenon was that alien movie where the guys get probed.
No, you're thinking of
Fire in the Sky.
Yes,
because that was pretty good.
I met the star of that movie, Southside Steve's favorite actor.
Who's that?
Can't think of his name right this. I will figure it out. Harriet the Spy. Never saw that movie because I wasn't a kid.
I liked her from Pete and Pete.
Who's Pete and Pete? I don't know who you're talking about.
Pete. Oh, Pete.
The brothers Pete.
Oh, Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good. I didn't realize that was her.
Then she went on to be on Buffy.
Yes.
Little sister.
Right.
Oh. Poor. Oh boy. You know, poor legacy from Mr. Whedon. D.B. Sweeney was that actor's name.
Yeah, D.B. Sweeney.
Kazam.
From Good Luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kazam.
And The Cutting Edge.
Kazam is the movie with Shaq, right? Where he plays the, Genie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This is the exactly. movie that everybody thinks Sinbad was in, right?
That's not cool. First of all, Sinbad has the name of, you know, an ancient, like from that era or whatever. And that's not cool, man. That's not cool at all.
That's the Mandela effect. People think that Kazam starred Sinbad and not Shaq.
Yeah, it's terrible. Terrible.
I think Shaq wants us to think that.
Tell me how my ass tastes. All right, so I had to Google. David Cronenberg had a 1996 movie called Crash, which isn't the movie from 2004, right? This is an NC-17 movie about people who like to crash into each other. They get sexually aroused by car crashes.
Yeah.
And if you know David Cronenberg, it's always a weird time if you're watching a movie with him. Starring James Spader.
Yeah, Spader. You've seen that. You've seen Crash before.
Yeah, I know. Holly Hunter, Rosanna Arquette. I read the book. Isn't it based on a book, I believe? Oh, no, that's Choke. Never mind. I read Choke. Chuck Palahniuk, I already say his name. The Frighteners, I don't remember that one at all.
I love that movie. I've seen that movie like 30 times.
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox. Jeez, what's it about?
He sees ghosts. You know, he's like a paranormal. He pretend he's a shyster. Like he'll come to your house and clear your house for you or whatever and charge you money. But truthfully, he really does see ghosts. He has that ability.
Cross over and, children. Oh, yeah, welcome.
and he ends up trying to help them. There's like a who's the dude that went up in the tower and shot all the people in Texas?
Stacy? No, not John Wayne.
Charles.
I know who you're.
Charles Moore.
I'm sorry,
Charles
Starkweather.
Yeah,
Starkweather.
Starkweather.
Yeah. What?
Because what was weird about this is I love the show. I saw it that like the first weekend it was on HBO with my son, who also loved it. It's like a kid. It's like a horror movie you can show to kids.
Yeah, Jake Busey, he plays the murderer.
Yeah, but we saw this movie while I was living in Omaha, and I went back. I was in Omaha for a short period, and I went back, and the first news story when I got back was that the real-life girlfriend of Charles Starkweather had gotten in the news again for something, because she lives in Omaha, and she's lived there since she got off. She was old. I assume she doesn't live there or anywhere.
Well, you should give it a try, Tim, because it also has Jeffrey Combs from Reanimator.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, John Astin from...
Yeah.
Well, I know who John Astin is.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny people in it, but Combs is the FBI agent who's trying to out Michael J. Fox as a fraud. Oh, my God. If women scream, he freaks out. Like it causes him... pain. Yeah, it's really good.
Creepy 90s Jake Busey's in it. Also, it's directed by Peter Jackson, so that right there alone means I'm probably going to watch it now.
Cool. You need to report back. Tell us what you think.
All right. Multiplicity. I remember that movie. I saw it once. Don't really remember caring for it all that much.
It was a big deal that I didn't care about either.
It was a tour de force by Michael Keaton, though, right, for playing all the different characters,
and directed by Harold Ramis,
right?
Also starring Andy McDowell, Eugene Levy, and Ann Cusack, who is the older sister of John and what's her face, Joan, right?
Right,
Joan.
Yeah, I do remember him getting a lot of kudos for that. Dan, jump in anytime if we're not.
What? No, I'm fine. I just I've been trying to find out. Frighteners apparently came out the week after something else came out, and it got buried in the box office.
Mm.
And I don't know whether it was Independence Day or what it was, but something just buried it. And that's why nobody heard about it.
Right.
Was it Independence Day 96 or was it 97? Must be 96. That it came out in June. It must have.
Yeah.
Oh, and Lee Army, whatever his name is, from Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
No, just an incredible cast. Yeah.
He's a ghost in the graveyard. He's a drill sergeant in the graveyard.
Yeah, Independence Day came out in 96, but I don't recall. It came out July 3rd. Why isn't that on here?
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't know how I missed that. Before, sorry, man.
Because I remember seeing it like weeks before 4th of July. Or maybe,
June of 96.
Yeah, I was wrong.
Oh, June. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet.
But about Multiplicity, I will say this. It's seldom that you go to see a movie and realize that they're working with a 20-year-old script. And that's what Multiplicity looked like, a 1970s comedy. And I mean, it was not bad, but it just didn't do anything for me.
You expect Warren Beatty to be playing the role or something.
Next movie.
I was thinking of a Chevy Chase also on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell. I think my favorite line from A Time to Kill, John Grisham novel, John Grisham movie with Samuel L. Jackson. And last but not least, The Adventures of Pinocchio, which I probably didn't see either and probably never will. Because Pinocchio to me is the old Disney movie, and that's probably all I'll ever see.
I feel like you glazed over A Time to Kill because not only was Sam Jackson wonderful in that movie, but it was truly, it was definitely the big launch board for Matthew McConaughey.
That's
when
right.
People realized he was more than just a pretty face. He was a good actor.
Hey, coming up next, you can see me in a movie, Contact, with Jodie Pitt. I play a sexy minister who likes to have sex with crazy scientists. But yes, I did pass over that film. I didn't think, look, it's still, look, there's too many wounds. I don't want to talk about it. How about Mississippi Burning? I should have been in that. That was better movie anyhow. Yeah, I did gloss over it, and I'm sorry. moving on to television shows. What were the top TV shows of 1996? You had Ellen. Is she or isn't she? Is she going to tell us? Ooh. Grace Under Fire. Is she or isn't she? I am
drunk.
I am not. I am drunk as fuck. It's my show. And my kids are going to be on that show. Now I'm going to do something more. Now I'm going to go around and do stand up comedy until I wonder if she still lives in town. She lived around here.
She's falling off a bar stool somewhere, I'm sure.
That's not nice. She gave that up. That was a good show. It was like Redneck Roseanne.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I always thought that she was very, very funny. And, I don't know what happened to her, and you know, where is Brett Butler now? Why isn't she on TV?
I feel like I saw her on something. Maybe she was on
The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's what she was on. She was on The Walking Dead.
I'm walking in. I'm a Walking Dead. You're right. I remember seeing her on there.
Right.
Dave Thomas was also on Grace Under Fire, and Dave Thomas can make anything funny. Fresh Prince of Bel Air was still on. That was a great show. It was a very funny show. I don't care if. Don't like I don't care if you don't like why can't I think of his name? Alfonso Ribeiro.
Stop.
Who didn't love Alfonso Ribeiro? They're on the second Viv at this point, I think, though, in 96.
Second Viv?
Yeah, second Aunt Viv.
That was a great sitcom. I thought it was a very well done show.
It was very funny. And then they would do some serious episodes too, with the little learning and teachings, you know. So it was a good show.
Beverly Hills 90210, they didn't really do that. I didn't like Beverly Hills 90210. I did, you know what show I liked more than that? I liked Melrose Place.
I
got addicted to Melrose Place. I felt like a junkie.
Me too. Allison,
Billy.
Keep your vodka in the freezer.
Poor Billy, man. Kept getting fucked over by that crazy woman. I love Billy. He was my hero. I wanted to be Billy. Lois and Clark, I didn't really like all that much, even though it was Superman. It wasn't my favorite of the Superman TV shows. Anybody jump in? Anybody?
Okay, well, ooh. I got this one because being the age that I'm at, I was really impressed that this was the guy who had been Brooke Shields' first serious boyfriend.
Oh.
Plus, he came from New Jersey. So I was all into that. The other thing I'll say about it is it's the first presentation of Lex Luthor as actually a real genius.
Yeah.
That's when he goes, ha, 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 I'm a genius, I'm bald, I'm going to destroy the world. Right. No, this was a guy who was manipulative and He was into real estate in New York, and you know, he lied to everybody.
That's great. Wow.
Just like the 90s.
I'm bold and I'm a genius.
I'm kidding. He wasn't in New York. He was in Metropolis.
Metropolis. Well, it's up the big city. It's a big metropolis. Look, vitamin. Yeah, that was, that is true. They really did start making them more believable as human beings than just, you know, my favorite Lex Luthor is Gene Hackman, just because he's so goofy and maniacal. And it's such a good 70s snapshot, the character.
I agree. I love him as Lex Luthor. I love him as Lex Luthor.
Kevin Spacey, I think, did a nod to that in the Brendan Routh Superman movie, which is much maligned, but I also like very much.
I don't think it's a, except for the kid. I like the Superman Returns.
Yeah, me too. I don't know why people hated it.
Not that fond of, but I would have liked to have seen him play Lex Luthor more like the cartoon Lex Luthor, of being the maniacal businessman who actually is smart and dangerous and just absolutely psychopathic.
Yeah.
That's what I would have liked. Basically Frank from House of Cards.
Right.
That's right. Where do they get a load of me?
It's Tess Marker!
I do want
to
say...
Luthor. They're going to bend me over this log. Get it?
I did want to tell you, though, these are not the biggest shows of 1996. I just went through the TV guide in July of 1996. So these were the shows that were still on.
Okay.
In July of 1996.
Roseanne still in its strong ratings, really funny. Drew Carey Show was amazingly funny when it first started. I think that it kept up, but you had such a great cast and such a bunch of those improv people that he was friends with. And that kind of gave him a nice little trajectory with Whose Line Is It Anyway, mm-hmm. his stand up. And then now he's got the cush job for the rest of his life, you know.
What a fantasy, though, to be the Price is Right host. I would love to be the Price is Right host.
What a great
That is gig. An easy gig.
Yeah.
It is, but it's fun. And I love all the games. You know, I'm a big Plinko fan. I wish that, you know, that if I just woke up in the morning and did nothing but Plinko for 8 hours, that would be my dream job.
That would be fun. Anybody see the video of Aaron Paul from his time on the Price is Right that went out last week?
He was a contestant.
Yeah, Bob. Yeah. Woo.
Yeah. Yeah.
But was this like after he was Aaron Paul?
No. Or before.
It's okay. His real name. I forget
That's
his real
wild.
Name.
Wild.
Come on down.
Neuter your pets.
Yes, yes. But he was losing. He went nuts on the show. It was great. He was so excited. You know, like, yeah. And you can hear Bob Berger. We've got another one. His name's Aaron Sturtevant, and that's how they. Aaron Sturtevant, come on down. Woo, woo, yeah.
Ba 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 ba.
Oh, I gotta see this.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
Let's see. NYPD Blue. That show was still on. It wasn't. Well, okay. So you're still in the. Jimmy Smith.
Six, it was still big then.
Yeah, but you're still in the Jimmy Smits era. Once Jimmy Smits mm-hmm. leaves, then you get the, you know, Zach from Saved by the Bell and you,
Schroeder.
Ricky Schroeder was good. He didn't like getting worked up though. I don't want to get worked up. NYPD Blue was one of my favorite shows of the 90s. I was so pissed because our local affiliate wouldn't carry it. The first season wouldn't carry the first couple episodes. It wasn't until it became a ratings success that they started carrying it. But they wouldn't because they showed, you know, pieces of butt and nippleless breasts, and they said shit every once in a while.
But it was Dennis Franz's butt, so it's not like anybody wanted to see that butt.
Right. And it wasn't his show at first either. The show was a vehicle for, you know, what's his name?
Caruso.
Yeah, David Caruso. It was a vehicle for him. I'm going to leave and go be in some bad movies. Okay, go be in The Jade, whatever the fuck, and the other movie that, you know, killed your career. Before CSI Miami. And then my Aunt Murphy Brown was a very funny show as well. I did not like the reboot. I don't know why they did it. It was not very successful. But it was a very funny show during its era.
I support all creatives, but I made sure I avoided watching that so I didn't have to say anything negative.
I tried. I really did try because I liked the original show so much. Thought it was a really, really good show. Well done. And really made Dan Quayle look like an idiot. I remember that.
Didn't the guy who played the painter Didn't he kill himself a couple years ago?
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Okay.
And on that happy note.
he's like what my hometown boy.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, the painter. I can't remember the character's name. But he was a bartender at the Peanut Bar in Edison, New Jersey, which was co-located with Woodbridge, New Jersey, where I grew up. And it was famous for having a no women allowed policy well into the early 1980s.
Wow.
Sounds like a cool place.
Robert Pastorelli.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. Wasn't it Elvin or something?
Yeah.
Good guy. He did die on March 8th, 2004. All right, on that happy note, dear Casey, my friend Stephanie had to give her dogs Trazodone on the 4th of July. And then she brought up the fact that the Murphy Brown guy shot himself when he died. Could you please play Wonder by Natalie Merchant off the album Tiger Lily? So these are the songs going from 40 to number one. We're not going to read all of them, but just some highlights of the big hits from July 1996. And most of these songs, by the way, ended up in 1997 in every commercial I edited for IQ TV. I worked for a company that when people had money, radio stations would purchase TV commercials and somebody had to make them. And that was our company, among others. But that's what we did. We made TV commercials for radio stations all over the United States, which is what led me to where I am now because I met people, but all the same hooks all the time. Starting with number 40, I wonder why Natalie Merchant left 10,000 Maniacs. It's done wonders for her career. Number 32, a self-titled song by a band called Everything But the Girl Missing, which is like their career.
It was the biggest gay bar song of the year. I would go to the gay bar with my friends, and they would always play that song. And I miss you like the deserts miss the rain.
That was used in a SNL sketch a lot. What sketch was it? And I miss you.
Roxbury, probably.
Was it?
Maybe.
No, they did What Is Love.
Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more. Yeah.
What is love?
I'll think about it because there is a very popular and famous SNL sketch that used "And I Miss You." Anyway, number 28, "Until It Sleeps" by Metallica. Coming in at number 20, the most uplifting pop band of all time. You never wanted to kill yourself when you were drunk listening to the Gin Blossoms. Number 20, "Till I Hear It From You." Coming in at number 18, a snaggletooth blonde who lived in a truck in Alaska. It's Jewel and Who Will Save Your Soul. Number 14, the Quad City DJs. Come on, ride it. It's a choo-choo. Come on, ride it. That was a big, big, big hit.
I think that should be the new national anthem.
Come on, ride the train. It's a choo-choo. I don't like it. It doesn't mention owning people. Well, the third verse of ours mentions owning people. It does. The people who own the other people and the people who are owned got together and fought the British. So it's important that you remember that. Coming in at number 11, isn't it ironic? Alanis Morissette never had another hit album. Number 10, Nobody Knows by the Tony Rich Project. And Steph, I'm going to need you to sing that one because I don't remember.
Oh, you remember the song? Nights are lonely, days are so cold. You know.
Yeah, you've nailed it.
I'm dying inside.
I don't.
Nobody knows it but me. Mm-mm. Okay.
That sounds familiar.
Well, yeah, you heard it. It was, it was all acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. It was a huge hit. Yeah. Nobody knows.
I don't know, and I'm a DJ. Coming in at number 6. Is Celine Dion with the theme song from that unbelievable movie where a 90-year-old Robert Redford was banging Michelle Pfeiffer. Because You Loved Me. Number 5, Always Be My Baby by Mariah Carey. I like Mariah Carey.
Shoo-doo-doo-da. That one, right?
Yeah. Always be my baby. I love walking through CBS because that's the only place you're going to hear a Mariah Carey song in 2020. Number 4.
Unless it's Christmas.
That's true. Number 4, California Love, featuring Tupac and Dr. Dre and a guy named Roger. did his best impression of Peter Frampton. And number one is sort of a funeral dirge. It's The Crossroads by Bone Thugs in Harmony. Does that band name mean there's a bunch of guys in a gang called the Bone Thugs who are having sex with a girl named Harmony? I don't know.
No, they were all with the last name Bone. It was Busy Bone, you know, the Bone Thugs.
Oh, I get it. Sorry, my bad. And those are your top something songs from July of 1996. All right, guys. So why don't we wrap up a little bit here? Speaking of 96, Dan, we have started this thing every week where we have a playlist. And our playlist right now, ongoing playlist, is driving songs or songs you want to listen to in your car. You crank up the, crank up the volume. So you can think about them while we go through ours.
I got mine.
Okay, go ahead. You can go first since you're the guest.
I'll go first, and I've got two loves and a hate for this.
Okay.
One is from 1996, not from July, because most of mine are from the end of the year, because I thought music improved.
Okay, you can use any song you like.
Duncan Cheeks, I Am Barely Breathing, a perfect song to play just as the sun is going down on a warm summer night, that period where the sun's not there, but the sky's still bright. Perfect time to drive around too fast listening to I Am Barely Breathing. Next one is the one you play on your way home from wherever you went and got your heart broken, and Sensitive by Jan Arden, a song that is very seldom remembered, or even I know nobody in Atlanta who'd ever heard of it, yet it was constant radio play in Omaha. And the last one is a hate song, when you just need to listen to something to keep you awake because it's 3:30 in the morning and you realize you drove past your house and you're heading to the beach. Yeah. And that's I Love You Always and Forever.
Oh, what a great song.
The Earworm of 1996.
Great song.
Donna Lewis.
I love you always, forever, near and far. We'll stick together.
I will be with you.
Can't stop dancing.
Who sang that?
It was Donna Lewis, an English woman who did nothing else significant in her career.
That would be followed up by Kiss Me by the Cardigans or something.
No, Kiss Me, Sixpence None the Richer.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
Kiss Me.
Cardigans did Love Me, Love Me.
That Cardigans album, the whole album's really good, and it's a shame that there was only one hit song off of it, but the whole album's fantastic. I'll do my 90s. Thank you, Dan. Those are
good, Dan. Thanks.
Good tunes, and we'll add them to our Spotify playlist. The playlist that I have right now, God, what am I losing my mind? My 1996 songs for this playlist are Tripping Billies by the Dave Matthews Band. Tripping Billies. I was really into them then, and also into Blues Traveler, so it was hard for me to pick one song. You know, But Anyway is in the movie, it's the closing credits of Kingpin, where the band is actually dressed up as Amish people and playing while they're putting a barn up. But that song wasn't released in 96. It was on an earlier album. So I've chosen Hook. You remember the video for Hook with the guy from Remote Control?
Yeah.
Yep. God, I'm having a hard time tonight. I'm not going to say the guy from, remember the guy from?
Ken Ober?
Yeah, Ken Ober.
He killed himself.
Another downer.
Yeah. And then Hook,
Hook was a good song, though. He was like making fun of rock music and everybody had
looking and pretty and all that.
Yeah.
Is that the one who suck it in like you're in and bullying, make a desperate move or else you win, and then begin to see what you do to me. This MTV is not for free. It's so PC, it's killing me. So desperately I sing to thee of love, sure, but also rage and hate and pain and fear itself. And I can't keep my feelings on a shelf. I've tried, and no, in fact, I lied. Might be financial suicide, but I got too much pride inside to hide. I'll shine, I'll do what I decide, and let it rot until I died. And only then shall I abide this tide of catchy little tunes, of hip 3-minute ditties. I want to bust all your balloons. I want to burn all of your cities to the ground. I didn't look at the lyrics. I'm impressed, I believe you. Fuck you guys. Just kidding. And then last but not least, California Love by Dr. Dre. Tupac and Roger. I love that song. It's one of the best.
California, yeah.
And that that total Road Warrior video. Really, really, mm-hmm. really cool stuff.
That was Tupac. You know, he just got fresh out of jail. He went over to Death Row. It was like a whole, him being reintroduced to the world.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Bail, fresh out of jail, California. As I step on the scene, I hear them hoochie screaming.
We had him for like, I don't know, a year, and then he was dead.
Nope. Jesus, Steph. Tell us all about the people who died.
He's not really dead. He's living on an island somewhere.
He and Biggie, yeah, they're living on an island with Jim Morrison and Amelia Earhart.
All right.
Okay, so.
Go ahead, Steph.
Is it me? You mean do mine real quick? So mine was like the biggest hit to me at the time. I don't know if you guys remember Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison. This was the party song. Anytime I went over to people's house, we're all gathered up. Return of the Mac would always come on and, you know, the drinks would go up and it was a big deal. Everybody loved Return of the Mac. And the other one was, this was during my very much in between pop punk ska, you know, all those bands were all out at that same time. And there was a band called Goldfinger. You remember them?
I do.
And they did that song, Here in Your Bedroom. Oh my God. I was so young and so happy. And I would sing that song and I would ride around and I would just like, be like, I still feel the same. Anyway, it's such a great song. So if you haven't listened to it in many years, throw it on. It's even more poignant now that we're old, honestly. And my last one was Beck's the album Beck had out at the time. I think it was Odelay.
Odelay.
Sissy Neck. I loved the song. And this was the one that kind of had like a country thing to it where he'd be like, I got a stolen wife and a rhinestone life. It's good old boys. That was one of my other favorite jams to ride around to.
Cool. Jeff?
I picked Follow You Down by the Gin Blossoms. I'm thinking maybe that's not 96 because you said that other song in the top 40.
That might be.
I'll hear it from you.
Still a radio.
Yeah, maybe you know. Was Follow You Down 1996?
Well, yes. I don't know. But yeah.
I picked that for the...
We're not going to split here.
I thought it was 96, but maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, that's my pick for the list. Follow You Down by the Gin Blossoms.
Then indeed, it came out on my birthday weekend, 1996.
Then I picked Counting Blue Cars by Dishwalla. Remember that song?
I do. I like that song.
And I picked...
How did it go?
Tell me all your thoughts of God, because I really wanted to meet her.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Tell me all your thoughts on God. What's your last one, Jeff?
Santa Monica by Everclear.
I would have picked this one if you hadn't already. I love that song.
I am still dreaming of your
ghost. I wish Autumn were on. She could tell about how he hit on her at Music Midtown.
We'll have to get that story from her at another juncture.
I have a picture of it. I'll send it to you.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's legit and all that. So, all right. So we're going to wrap up real quick here. I didn't really watch a lot. And I'll tell you, but before we do that, follow us on social media at @radio_labyrinth on Twitter, Radio Labyrinth. If you type that in Facebook, you'll find us. We also have a super secret group, which isn't a secret. It's called the Radio Shack and it's run by Dustin Lawler. And there's a lot of good memes, a lot of good artwork and people, you know, they chat with each other on there. If you'd like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/ Tim Andrews. And we did have a submission this week. For a listener song, but I'm going to add it to next week's. And that'll be cool because I can't find it right this second. And we only had one, so I'm going to add it the next week. So if you're a Patreon member, keep a lookout in your email because we post every week, ask us anything or add to the playlist. So be on the lookout for that in the coming week.
Oh, by the way, I loved the pick that, you know, Dustin Lawler always does these.
Oh, yeah, he does great photo
funny homages. Yeah. And he'll use our faces and whatnot in them. And this week he did You and I for What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
It's probably one of my all time favorites that he's ever done of me personally.
Mm-hmm.
It truly captures my spirit. And I really, really liked it. I liked it a lot.
I'll tell you, I didn't really watch very much. I got to watch Perry Mason. I'm behind on that. But I finished the Wind of Change podcast. Ira was right. It was a really good listen. And I started one from the same people called Running from Cops, which is a history of the show Cops with its creators. And
I listened to that. It was good.
Yeah, I like it. So I'm gonna finish that one up. Of course, I'm caught up on the Sopranos podcast, Talking Sopranos, and Gilbert Gottfried's last podcast was good. And Jeff, I finally got around to watching Dr. Sleep, and I'm really rambling a lot about all the things here because I saw a tweet from our friend Sean, and he said, it sucks. And I'm like, well, I'm going to check this out. Because I've read the book, and I really like the story. The movie was okay. I like the Easter eggs that were in there and the throwbacks to The Shining. And they really cut out way too much. I thought everybody did a good job acting, but the girl's grandmother was a central part of the story, and she's completely missing. And when they do,
there's like a director's cut that's got like an extra 40 minutes or something. That
oh really?
Be able to see, yeah.
I might watch that. That'd be like a 4-hour movie, but
I wish someone would have warned me about Jacob Tremblay's murder. That was horrible. Yeah. I was not ready for that at all. Oh, that and I'm like, oh, surely they're going to cut away at some point. I was like, Oh God, stop killing Jacob Tremblay.
When they ripped his shirt off, I was like, what the fuck are they doing? Continue.
Yeah. I'm like, no.
So that's that. That's my stuff.
I got into that Crazy Delicious show on Netflix. If you guys watch that. Mm-mm. I love the show. Me and my husband, I don't think we watch like 5 or 6 episodes of it, but it's one of these British cooking shows, only it's set in this very Willy Wonka, Alice in Wonderland type set where everything, you just go and like pick something off of a vine and you can start, it's a chocolate flute. I don't know. But anyway, it's like one of those shows. But it's the same thing, though. They got 3 things they got to make and then they got to present them before the gods, which are these 3 judges, a really good, excellent chefs, and they make all these really amazing looking dishes or whatever. So it's fun. I love it. It reminds me of Great British Baking Show, which is such a 50-minute slice of nice, which I'm always looking for at this time in the world. Something nice. And this show is nice, and it's something you can watch with your kids and whatever, but it's called Crazy Delicious on Netflix. And my staff pick, so excited. It's been almost 2 years, but season 2 of The Alienist will be premiering July 19th on TNT. And I'm very much looking forward to this. I loved season 1. I thought it was great. And this time around, Dakota Fanning is going to be playing she's a detective.
Cool.
Which is pretty cool for that time period. And the Brule dude who played the creepy psychologist in the first one is going to be helping her solve some cases. Get a lot of the old people back. So anyway.
Cool.
I think it's based on the second book.
Yes, it is. Yes, yeah. You are correct.
I've read all those, the Alienist books.
Angel of Darkness, right?
Yeah. I watched Hamilton, and I enjoyed it. Not ashamed to say.
Why should you be ashamed?
Because you refuse to watch it.
That doesn't mean I would shame anybody for watching it. I just
If you did watch it, you would love it. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
It was great. I didn't know. I mean, I knew about the phenomenon of Hamilton.
Yeah.
But I didn't know anything about the story or any of the songs.
Well, he's getting canceled now for being tone deaf. So.
Yeah. But Hamilton was great.
Maybe now I'll watch it.
Yeah, you should. And my staff pick was Palm Springs, coming on Hulu on July 10th. That's the Groundhog Day type movie that Andy Samberg is in.
Mm-hmm.
With what's her name? The girl from How I Met Your Mother,
Kristen.
She was Johnny Sack's daughter on The Sopranos. You know who I'm talking about?
I do.
Yeah, but they're stuck in like a time loop, and this movie was like the highest ever auctioned off price or whatever at Sundance. Mm. So there was like a bidding war for it, and Hulu ended up winning. J.K. Simmons is in it. And Andy Samberg. Oh, Kristen Bellotti is that girl's name.
Yeah.
And that's on Hulu, July 10th. Looking forward to it. Palm Springs.
Danny.
Jorma and none of them are into it from The Lonely Island?
I think Lonely Island are maybe producing it. I don't know if any. They'll probably cameo.
J.K. Simmons, June Squibb, and Peter Gallagher. Dan, you got a staff pick this week?
I just want to point out I have Avatar: The Last Airbender, which is available on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
which is not my staff pick, even though you should watch it. My staff pick is I have discovered the works of Brandon Sanderson, the writer, and I tried to read his book Way of Kings 3 times. And then within a 1 week period, 2 people told me it was the best book ever. And I said, I can't get past the 4th chapter because the book keeps restarting every chapter. And it was annoying. And I made it through chapter 6, and I did not stop listening to it until I made it through 3 books in a row.
Wow.
And then immediately turned around and started at the beginning because now I understood what was happening in the first book so much better. So Brandon Sanderson's Stormlight Archive, I strongly recommend. And he's a nice guy. I've met him. So,
well, thank you.
I've heard good things about him all the time, but I've never gotten into any of his stuff.
Brandon.
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing is I watched his, his YouTube channel on teaching writing. And in like the 6 or 7 episode, he talks about, and you got to start strong because so many people have come up to me and said, I tried to read your book, but it starts 3 or 4 times and I didn't know what was going on. So I gave up. And this was my 3rd attempt to
read. Right.
So thank you. Thank you for letting me be part of staff picks.
Dan, thank you for sticking around and being a part of the show. And you know, just before we wrap up, give everybody an update if they've forgotten since the beginning of the show where they can find out the latest on DragonCon.
www.dragoncon.org/updates. Self-explanatory. And follow DragonCon at DragonCon on Twitter and Instagram and so many other places across the internet.
And don't be too despondent about 2020. Things will get better next year. That's what they keep telling us, and I'm choosing to believe that.
And this 2020 is going to be a fun virtual.
Yeah. I'm just saying, for overall, don't be despondent. Right. 2021 is around the corner, and hopefully we'll get past
it. I think they're going to make the best of a bad situation, and I think there's going to be a lot of cool stuff to check out.
And we'll let you know right here on this show too. So, you know, we'll check. Go ahead.
If I did not think that they were going to produce something amazing, I would not be sticking my neck out to tell people they're going to do something amazing. So trust me, because I have no vested interest whatsoever. I just like driving.
Steph, you got anything for the dog?
We, as always, BarkvilleDogRescue.org. We need sponsors. We need fosters, as always. And when I said we need sponsors, it's because I'm doing Strut Your Mud again this year. However, just like Dragon Con, it's going to be virtual. I'm virtually walking for these dogs, but I need you to really actually sponsor me. So if you can go to Strut Your Mud and you look up the Barkville team and you'll see Stephanie Swain on there with her pathetic $25, and maybe you'll feel so kind and you'll throw me a couple of bucks. That would be awesome because we just scooped up 5 puppies today from a rural shelter that we're trying to raise money to take care of. And that would be awesome.
Send me the link to that so I can put it in the show notes,
please. Yeah.
I won't.
And where are you virtually walking? No. Just like around your house?
No, it's somewhere in the internet. I'm not sure where.
Pornhub.
We're walking through Pornhub with dogs. Which I feel like if we did that, we probably could raise more money. Yeah,
there's a lot of butt sniffing. All right, guys, we got to wrap it up. Sorry about that. Dan Carroll, again, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's nice to see your face again.
Thank you, guys. Yes.
Thanks, Dan.
And until next week, where Ira, as he's returning, we'll see Ira next week, hopefully with a game. Please remember to
keep it canon.